Over the last few weeks, we've been focusing on being church, being a koinonia fellowship. And this is the third of the series, looking particularly at one of the key activities that we do when we come together as a koinonia fellowship, communion, eating bread and drinking wine together. So far, we've looked at how the church started as a fellowship. We're going to have some slides here. It's all right. We started as a fellowship, and Francis had a rather funny progression there. And then we looked at how fellowship is not just a nice social time, but it is actually a shared participation, a spiritual association, a real communion with one another. Francis looked at some images of this, including the biblical images of the branches abiding in the one vine. And then also at the members of the body with Christ as the head. So we recognize that this is at the heart of what Jesus prayed for at the Last Supper. And also that's implicit in the Trinity represented by Rublev's icon, that God's inner life is shared fellowship in itself, is koinonia fellowship, and we are invited to participate in this. And then last week, we considered where we imagine God to be in church when we are together, how transcendent and immanent God is to us, and how the Bible describes that God is in the midst of us. God wants to be among us in our shared and social interpersonal space. And when that space is clean and open, filled with love, the Holy Spirit inhabits. Jesus stands among us. God is present in his sanctuary, so the world may see a witness in our unity. So it's not Christian to think that one can be holy and spirit-filled in isolation while not attending to that shared life of the church at whatever level in koinonia fellowship. And from this, we considered how we come to the table, that in preparing for that, our unity is more important than our individual righteousness. And therefore, we prepare ourselves immediately beforehand by sharing God's peace to nurture or repair that unity of his body. Today, I'd like to briefly look at how Jesus spoke about his flesh and blood as presented by the Apostle John in our Gospel reading, and a bit of what that means for our koinonia fellowship around the table. So to understand the strange saying of Jesus about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, we need a lot of context. This saying comes after Jesus has fed 5,000 and then declared that he is the bread of life and he will feed all who come to him. Then Jesus attaches that spiritual metaphorical meaning to a real and physical event. He distinguishes the food which perishes from that which abides or lasts to eternal life, much the same way as he speaks about people. The people who respond to him have eternal life, whereas those who don't will perish. He makes repeated parallels between believing in the one the Father sent and eating the bread of life. And he uses eating as a metaphor for believing in and abiding in him, speaking in the same way as he does of that mutual indwelling of his disciples and himself at that prayer at the Last Supper. So Jesus gives this teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Now, the synagogue was a place where the Torah, the word of God, so to speak, was read and explained. And as he spoke of bread and of eating, the connection would have been made to him saying, at one stage, that people are to live on the word that comes from the mouth of God, not bread alone. And in speaking of eating him as bread, he was claiming to be this word. This is a radical statement he was making. So what did his disciples, the wider crowd of followers around him, not just the 12, what did they take offense at? Jesus' reply to their offense gives us some clue. He speaks about what they would think if they saw him when he ascended back to the Father. In other words, he was claiming to be the word coming from the Father who would be returning to. Their offense is at the claim that Jesus is making here, rather than the rather revolting nature of the metaphor of eating himself that he used, which we tend to think of as being offensive. Now, they were thinking of that claim to be the very word of God. And then Jesus also says that his words are spirit and life, and that flesh has no value. And that points also to the fact that the saying about eating his flesh and drinking his blood is a metaphor rather than literal. And then Peter's response is not, well, I don't mind eating your flesh. No, his response is, we have come to believe and know. So all of Jesus' hearers realized that he was using a metaphor, an image, rather than literally promoting eating flesh and drinking blood. So the metaphor that Jesus uses, this image of eating him, means taking in his life, the living bread that came down from heaven, as he describes himself back in verse 51, taking this into ourselves. He speaks of this living bread, just like the living water he spoke of at the well with the Samaritan woman. Whoever eats physical bread, like the manna in the desert, will be hungry again and eventually die. Whereas whoever eats the living bread will never hunger and will live forever. When Jesus refers to flesh here too, it's not the same way as Paul refers to flesh, which means the sinful nature, but rather it's the human, the non-spiritual. That's what he's meaning by flesh. And so his flesh is what he gave for us in his death on the cross. We are to take what he gave in his death, forgiveness and reconciliation with God, take that into us. And when he speaks of his blood, he's speaking of his life. People then believed that life was in the blood. And that's why the Hebrew scriptures forbid the drinking of blood. So when Jesus is using this image, his metaphor here, he's saying that we should take this life, his resurrection life, which is poured out by the Holy Spirit, into us. So eating his flesh and drinking his blood involves receiving the results of his death for us and living out his resurrection life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we remember too that Jesus also said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. So eating, drinking Jesus involves doing the will of God in our lives, living in him in this too. So how does this relate to communion, to our gathering around the table as Koinonia Fellowship and eating bread and drinking wine together? The celebration of communion is best understood actually through what Jesus did during his last Passover meal with the 12. There's so much more there that reveals what Jesus was doing and saying that we reenact and remember at communion. And I look forward to celebrating that Passover meal with you next year on the Thursday before Easter. It's a very special time. However, today's passage does point to some aspects of what we are receiving and believing and coming around the table and eating and drinking together. Now, bread and wine are the common food and drink of that time. These are the staples of life that God provided in the land of Israel. And God's people always thanked him for these at every special meal. The Hamotzi blessing: "Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who brings forth the bread from the earth." And the Kiddush: "Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine." What Jesus did at the Last Supper was to give these, bread and wine, the significance of being to us his body and blood, which we can understand from this passage. Just as he was using flesh and blood as metaphors or images of his death and resurrected life, which we are to take into ourselves, so the bread and wine are not literally his flesh, not as literally his flesh and blood, but carry the significance when we eat them of allowing us to enact our abiding in him, our receiving the results of his death and his resurrected life in our life. So by eating these, we are metaphorically eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood and saying that we are living in him, the word of God, and obeying his commandments, seeking to do the will of God in our lives. We are enacting that we believe and know that only Jesus has the words of eternal life and is the Holy One of God, as Peter exclaimed for the 12. And note, we don't establish our abiding in Christ by eating the bread and drinking the wine. Rather, this eating and drinking is to enact the reality that we are already abiding in him. At the time that Jesus taught this, many of those who thought they were in fellowship with him found this too hard. Is our reaction to Jesus like that of Simon Peter and the 12? If you believe and know that Jesus is the Holy One of God, with the words of eternal life, to be received, obeyed, trusted as the very word of God, and live that out, then you will have that unity with him and anyone else who believes and knows that. If you cannot accept the need to bring Jesus that fully into your life, then taking part in communion around the table does not make sense as Jesus intended. Our culture has a saying that relates to this: you are what you eat. This is applied to all sorts of things, like junk food that leads to an unhealthy body, or even the junk things that we might read or listen to or even watch on TV, which diminish our ability to think and relate to reality in the real world around us. What Jesus says here is very similar. Do you eat me? You are what you eat. Are you prepared to be Jesus to the world around you? To be Jesus in your shoes, in your circumstances? This can't be reduced to a personal piety. This is not just God in me, Jesus in my heart, with no outward expression needed. So it's not something we enact in private, but we do it together, taking Jesus into us, eating Jesus so that we are what we eat. We can only share koinonia fellowship with one another if we are first one in Jesus Christ. Enacting that koinonia fellowship unity according to his command and eating bread and drinking wine that have been given the significance of being his body and blood. That's the deepest expression of that koinonia fellowship we share with Jesus and with each other. So we can't go ahead and do that now, because it really has to be something we enact together, in, you know, eating together and drinking together, the bread and wine that have that significance to us. But we can still pray about making Jesus the centre of our lives, to be living in Jesus, to take in Jesus. And so I have a song that I've asked Pete to do next. Make that song your prayer. Yeah. So Francis is going to share the words with us, and Pete's going to help us, lead us in singing this song, Knowing Jesus. Thank you, Pete.